Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And welcome to the AEW Dynamite preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight, the all-out go-home show. Michael Hamflett, by the way, still enjoying a well-earned week off. How are you feeling, though, just a few days before All Out, Sidge?
I'm hyped. I expect to get more hyped on the back of this Dynamite show tonight because it actually has matches that might constitute a main event. It might have matches that might, in fact, be really, really good. And between the two sit-down live interview promos for a match that I think most people think is a match too far, I firmly expect to get sold on said match at All Out because these two men are genius orators.
Yeah, lots to look forward to tonight after a bit of an iffy Dynamite, I think it's fair to say, last week. Just to clarify, I can't believe this is already the case, although that's how time works, Adam. The 100th episode of Dynamite tonight.
Well, not really.
Oh.
It's the 101st. They are doing a little bit of WWE maths, I think, because they didn't want to have that week's Dynamite is like a landmark 100th. I mean, they've not really promoted it as the 100th. It's a huge major selling point. I think the confusion has arisen because there was a special Saturday night Dynamite, which was a supplementary Dynamite.
Yes, I seem to remember something like that.
So was it? Did it really count? It doesn't have to. It's wrestling. Just make it up. It's a total fantasy make-believe world. This looks like a far better and more fitting 100th episode. 100th episode of any kind of TV program or a wrestling program or any kind of anniversary or big landmark. What you want to do is tell the audience, we got to 100 for a reason, because the show is good and it's got an audience. We are going to celebrate how good the show has been consistently to get us to this place by doing a very good edition of it. Last week's kind of sucked. So they can gimmick the maths in the weeks and the months all they like, if they can produce an episode befitting of the fact that this is quite an accomplishment.
I suppose, I was going to say, it's just easier to just use the 100th anniversary of Dynamite, I suppose, in terms of episodes. Yeah. But then again, WWE don't understand anniversaries either, so wrestling struggles with that sort of thing as well. WrestleMania 25, not the 25th anniversary, That's just not how money, how numbers work, but still. Anyway, CM Punk is going to be on this show. Not like Rampage, which did a rubbish number with CM Punk on it on Friday. Gosh. I mean, it was a video package and you stopped being performative knobhead on Twitter, basically. Anyway, he is actually going to be on this show. What do you think happens with him tonight? Because you and I are speculating off air about maybe something bigger happening with Darby Allin on Rampage ahead of All Out this Friday. He's, of course, facing Daniel Garcia, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed. Not to skip ahead to the Rampage preview too quickly, but I expect someone is going to eat a GTS. Consider that a tease, if you like. As for CM Punk here, look, it's Chicago. He's going to get another monster pop. It's going to feel life-affirming. It's going to be good, and it's going to be electric, and it's going to feel enormous, almost irrespective of what he's going to say. But drilling deeper into what he said, like what we've said a lot is that this is a face versus face match premised on the fact that it tacitly gets Darby Allin over, even in the event of his loss, purely because CM Punk has chosen him specifically to wrestle after 7 years. That's the story. It's a story of introducing a legend back into the fold and at the same time putting over huge and emerging homegrown talent by having him work the best match of their life. This is going to arrive at a great moment. CM Punk's introduction was a great moment. By definition, it's not exactly a story you can tell episodically. I would like a little bit of juice added to this, if I'm being perfectly honest. And that might make me feel pedantic. It might make me come across as a bit of a miserable bastard. How could he complain even slightly about CM Punk coming back to wrestling? It's like, I've had that feeling. I've loved that feeling. I've relived that feeling. I want to get an indication of the match quality, a little bit of an indication of the story. I would like just a little bit of juice. It's all a bit pally. It's all very nice. It's all very productive. At this moment in time, I want to be sold on the idea of, I want CM Punk to say something to the effect of, look, I've been nice. Many of my detractors say that it's very uncharacteristic of me, and they might be right because ... I just want a little bit of juice to this now. I want a little bit of edge. Maybe Darby Allin could interrupt CM Punk cutting another promo where he talks again about how Darby Allin was gonna, would have been his favorite wrestler as a 15-year-old. At some point, I think I would quite like to see Darby Allin interrupt the promo and say something to the effect of, mate, will you stop patronizing me? You talk to me like I'm 18, fresh out of wrestling school. I'm 27. I'm a former TNT champion in my own right. Like, I'm not doing you a favor by wrestling you. I'm going to, like, dismantle the legend.
Yeah, stop the hype train.
Something to make it feel like it's not... It's all respectful and nice. And that's great. Situationally, it's perfect. It's still wrestling. It's still very conflict-based. I want a little bit of an edge to this at this point, if I'm being brutally honest.
No, I think you're right. I think you need to just add that little something. Like, at the end of the day, look, everyone's probably going to be buying All Out, regardless of whether or not we get something with this tonight, because it's CM Punk's return to wrestling. But adding a little spice to it, yeah, I agree. Because at the end of the day, that bell's going to ring and he's going to try and hit him with a go to sleep, and he's going to try and hit him with a sodding coffin drop at the end of it all to basically render the other person unconscious. So there's only so far the niceties can go. The polar opposite of that scale, of course, is FTR and Santana and Ortiz running it back, of course, after Cash Reader's horrific injury a few weeks back. How do you see it playing out tonight?
I don't know. The first match, even before the injury, I didn't get the feeling that it was building to this red-hot grudge feud crescendo of a finish. I can't even recall the story they were telling. It was quite a forgettable, I don't want to say a nothing match. It didn't help at all that the crowd was crestfallen at what had happened to Hangman Page in the match and how long that match went and its emotional peak. Like, any match would have struggled, and on that note, a dream tag team match did. So maybe it was an atmosphere thing. Maybe it was just a little bit cursed all around. It obviously was. But they'll know that. They will be despondent. FTR in particular, they were working their home state, the Carolinas, which, if you know anything about their upbringing in the wrestling world, what they're passionate about, they're in love with that territory. So it would have crushed them. It would crush them to have received that reaction from where they are, the place that they love on a personal and a professional level, to get that muted reaction and for the match to kind of fall apart. All of which is to state, they will be so goddamn up for this. They'll know that it wasn't as if like, oh, what a shame. Obviously, we were very, very, very concerned about what happened to Cash Wheeler. But... to try and not sound like a total dick getting his priorities wrong, it didn't feel like, oh, they were just getting going and that had to happen. It felt more like, oh, that was a horrible thing to happen. I just think they're going to be so up for this. I can't imagine FTR, given how professionally proud they are, and Santana and Ortiz for that matter, especially when you've look at all the weeks and months they've invested in this sort of subplot of the Inner Circle Pinnacle rivalry. Mm. I just can't imagine that these two incredibly talented teams in front of a red hot pro wrestling city with the stage set for them. There's no sense that if this was an all out, if it was positioned between two of the hotter matches, that this might die a death again. They've got the perfect platform on Dynamite to tell their story. They've got the perfect motivation to tell a better version of the one that they did. I'm expecting this to be great, purely based on the fact that they'll be desperate to deliver a great match. And that says nothing about the quality of both players. In terms of how I see the story going, I would like to see it really focused. It felt like they were really working the first time around. Like a We Hate Each Other match. Now craft something instead. Mm. So it wasn't a brawl, and it wasn't really known or something, like, to use a Geordie expression. We've long campaigned for, if you're going to do a heel versus heel match, or in this case, a heel versus a babyface team that like to get down and dirty yes. match, you've loved the idea of this match from day one yeah. because they want to out-dick at each other. FTR cut off the ring. FTR do a vintage FTR performance. I want Santana to go after that bandaged arm of Cash Wheeler's, like really drawn from the crowd.
Muscle damage. You talked about this when we talked, you know, not to doubt Cash's injury, yeah. but you thought it's a great story beat.
Of course. Really good story beat. They've worked so goddamn hard. I'm desperate for them to have the great match I know this can be.
Yeah, I hope and I believe that tonight will be the night that they realise that, because like you say, the being informed in terms of what's happened with both teams prior to this, not only with that injury, but like you say, the history of this feud between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. And, yeah, as much as they are incredibly talented, learning from where it all kind of went awry, because in a way, you're right, that match did not live up to expectations, despite the scenario that it was in. And I think they will have picked up on that and gone, right, where did we go wrong there? These are the beats that we need to hit, exactly like you said. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who wins this either, to be honest, if I look at it. But it's an intriguing contest, nonetheless.
Indeed. I would personally go for FTR again, because I think there's way more for the Pinnacle to do. Like, way more. They've barely appeared on screen together since the return to the road. In fact, I don't think they have appeared collectively as a five-piece once since they've returned to the road. They've not even begun to explore their potential as a stable. Whereas Inner Circle, it definitely feels like Sammy Guevara's already doing stuff with Fuego del Sol on Dark and stuff. It feels like as a stable, as a unit, they're not long for this world. And if you hand Santana and Ortiz the loss here, it will allow them to like explore their options and storylines yes. going forward. Like, sell the ramifications of a loss, accept the loss, eat the loss, but then use the loss as a pivot to develop as characters, as to explore their possibilities going forward. There's more to do for them in defeat as there is for the Pinnacle to do a victory here.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sticking with the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle storylines, you've of course got MJF versus Chris Jericho at All Out. And tonight we've got interviews with both of them, a sit-down interview between Chris Jericho and Jim Ross. and presumably in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone and MJF. How do they sell this?
I don't know how they sell it, but it needs to be sold, and the other two best people that sell this match. This match, I think most can be in agreement, feels like one too many. It feels like the outcome, if in fact Jericho does win, which I think is going to be the result.
Yep.
It's not going to 50-50 because, strictly speaking, it's 75-25. It will be 3-1 MJF. It feels like a little bit of a politicized outcome. I think a lot of people are out there wondering not what the point of it all was, because the point is you have two stars in a really entertaining long-term feud. People have been begging for this for years. How dickheaded would it be of them to turn around when they get a very good version of something they were yearning for years and think, that was that. There is a sense that it's one match too many. There is the sense that that all-out card is stacked. One match is going to suffer that people are looking forward to if one or two go too long. Mm-hmm. And you've got to think, if it's Jericho's tease last match, as they should, they want to extract every single drop of drama they can by going quite long. I don't know how many people are up for that. I think that if MJF and Jericho deliver in these sit-downs, they absolutely will be. That's the power of a promo. A great promo, we know what it's showed for. They are promoting something. Two verbal masterclasses will go so far towards building all out. I've got no doubt in their ability to be able to sell me on this match. It's weird. It feels like the wrong way around. Tony Schiavone is much better in the live context than Jim Ross, but he's doing the sit-down with MJF.
Oh, right, okay.
So that's odd. But regardless, they're both very good at their jobs. I'm talking about Ross and Schiavone. I've obviously just said that Jericho and MJF. Jericho, it's weird. He would be so better doing the sit-down here, because when he hears Judas, his little eyes light up. And I said this on the review last week, when his eyes light up, I'm thinking, you're going to be wrestling as long as Terry Funk did. As long as you can do Judas as your entrance theme. So that just negates the weight of the stipulation for me. I would much rather have it where Chris Jericho isn't allowed to come out of Judas. He cuts a somber figure with Jim Ross, who can really sort of get the best answers out of him because he's great in this role, and basically put across the idea of him almost mourning the career as a sort of a retrospective before it ends, with the idea of, oh, it will feel emotionally affecting if in fact his career does end. I don't want to feel like Chris Jericho feels, sort of thinking he's near the end. That would, in theory, galvanize the crowd into thinking, oh, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel what Jericho's feeling. Let's get behind him. That's how I would do it. It feels like they're not going to do that. I'm very interested in this. Mm. Very, very interested. I know they're going to deliver. How do you see it? I've got no idea.
I think you're right. I think Jericho needs to sell this as a last chance for him. This could be my last. It's not going to be last Dynamite. We were joking about this in the office, but this could be my last Dynamite. You know, all I'd be is sat behind the commentary table on Rampage, which is great. But I want to be, in charge of my own destiny. I want to make the decision when I finish, not MJF, for example. And all I was thinking about with MJF there was less selling the match, because it doesn't really need any more selling than what Chris Jericho's just done there. And not necessarily not caring about beating Chris Jericho. He said last week about, what a legacy that would be to say, I finished him off, basically. But all I could think about until when I read something earlier on and told you about in the office, have MJF in Chicago eat one of the ice cream bars and go, oof, it's a bit old and gone off this, isn't it?
Oh, I like that.
There you go, Maxwell. You can have that one for free.
I do like that.
But yeah, like you say, I'm not exactly sure of the context, and they may switch things up. They normally do about the time that we release this preview anyway, so it's pointless really discussing how they're going to do this. But
MJF really needs to put across the idea that he's adamant in his mind that he is going to retire Chris Jericho, and he can say something to the effect of, look, I know it's probably a few days early, but I know you can't wait for this. Here's your retirement cake.
Yes. Yes. Brilliant. I love that. In terms of other grudge feuds, Brian Cage gets his hands on Powerhouse Hobbs tonight. Storied history, of course, with Brian Cage and Team Taz, which hasn't really amounted to much, I think it's fair to say. Like, the video package selling this is great because it sells in 20 seconds. Powerhouse Hobbs clocking in with the belt to allow Ricky Starks to win the FTW Championship. After that, I think it's fair to say it's gone a bit off the rails.
It has. It's petered out. And we know the reason why it's petered out. It's petered out because Brian Cage doesn't have a huge emotional bond with the audience so that the audience are really going to rally behind him and cut down Team Taz one by one. It's a tried and true AEW narrative device that I don't necessarily think much of the audience is on board for. Brian Cage isn't a great episodic TV character babyface. He is a guy you go and see in the live arena and popped aft for because he can do ridiculous things that should not be capable with that ridiculous body. He's a bit of a vacuum in terms of his charisma. As a result, the storyline that was really well done in and around the Darby Allin and Sting stuff and the Hangman Page stuff, like, they've told a great story on his behalf and they haven't really sort of articulated it or expressly told it. The idea was Brian Cage realized, you know what, Sting handed me my ass. That was a bit of a wake-up call for my career progression. I shouldn't be hanging around with these louts. I don't want to take shortcuts. I want to be a fairer guy. Look at the size of us. I shouldn't be. And it just feels like they haven't explored that beat often enough. Everything has felt cold. This match, however, should be a bomb-lobbing,
yes, hoss battle.
Ridiculous hoss battle that could go some way towards salvaging it, because realistically, it does need salvaging. We haven't raved about Ricky Starks in too long. We haven't raved about a Taz promo in too long. Like, we raved so much about Taz's delivery in, like, the early months of 2021. He was, like, our favourite AEW guy on these podcasts for a while. I haven't felt that for Taz, and I hate not feeling that for Taz. He's class. This needs juicing up, and ironic maybe, given some of the people involved. This needs juicing up, and I think a big, beefy hoss battle is the way to do it. Cage goes over. My worry is that this is one of two things that might get the full resolution at All Out when this card is already stickety stacked.
Yeah, let's talk about that, actually, because we're also getting Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans, and you expressed concern to me earlier that we're going to get a run it back of Cassidy and the leader of the HFO potentially off the back of this match.
All Out's already stacked, and I'm not being funny. I know he's been a bit of a target of our ire on these podcasts, Matt Hardy, but All Out could be four matches long and I still wouldn't want a fifth Matt Hardy match on it. I don't think he's doing enough to really justify being on his sixth consecutive AEW pay-per-view card.
And I don't think the story is, well, you broke my nose or smashed my face in last time. I don't think that is enough to merit a pay-per-view match. You're right.
No, not at all. The card's already totally stacked, but Matt Hardy versus AEW's entire mid-card must continue. It's the oddest bit of booking. It's a time sink. No one's that arsed about it. It's solid and it's fine, but I don't watch AEW Dynamite for solid and fine. The fact that it's continuing via a match between Cassidy and one of Matt Hardy's associates, like, I genuinely don't want to see this on an already stacked all-out card. We've talked at length about so many AEW pay-per-view matches go 4 minutes longer than they need to. All of this adds up to a kind of an exhausting pay-per-view experience. Teasing a stepped-up Cassidy versus Matt Hardy rematch. I hope it goes first, and then I'm not going to be happy with this Dynamite show until we get to that penultimate quarter hour and they say, oh, there'll be a false count anywhere match between Hardy and Cassidy on Rampage. So, oh, God damn it, good. You know what I mean? It's just, this feud is pissing me off. This feud is boring. I don't even know why it's happening. There's no huge emotional heft to it. But it must continue. Matt Hardy versus everybody must always continue, and I'm just bored.
I was going to say Hoyt on the buy-in, but then they've already got the Casino Battle Royale.
Don't, because I'm watching the buy-in as well. And I know there's a different vibe. I know when you watch the buy-in, you kind of do it when you're on your phone, the audience does it when they're piling in. It's a different, when that opening video package, that's when the pay-per-view starts and you get like a new wind. I still have to watch it. It still adds to the UK viewing experience of, you have to wake up at what time o'clock? I'm not actually going to bed on that Sunday. Full day of parenting, in the office. The last thing I need to see is Matt Hardy work a solid match 3 hours into an AEW pay-per-view. I'm sorry, I just do not need to see that.
No, I don't blame you, to be honest. On the kickoff show, I said, though, it's going to be the Casino Battle Royal. And as part of that, well, we've got an ongoing feud with Tay Conti. It was Tay Conti and the Bunny, of course, on Rampage. That was interrupted. She was distracted, Tay Conti, by Penelope Ford, who helped the Bunny win via shenanigans. As a result, that is Tay Conti versus Penelope Ford tonight.
Yeah. I've advocated for both of these women who've really got over and have really improved exponentially since their start dates in AEW to get more TV time. They've just arrived at it at the most basic NXT adjacent way.
Yeah.
We touched on this in the Rampage review. Interrupted promo, post-match attack. That's how you transition one performer into a different match. And it's just, it's very basic. This match should be okay. If I'm trying to look on the bright side, and I tend to do this with AEW, mm-hmm. If I'm looking on the bright side, I'm thinking that Penelope Ford is really vastly underutilized in this company. What I would like to see is Penelope Ford and the Bunny are probably going to screw Conti out of this match, with the idea being that their teaming together is going to form a big thread in the Casino Battle Royale. I would really like to see the Bunny betray Penelope Ford, toss her out of the match at All Out, and Penelope Ford turns babyface.
Ooh.
Penelope Ford's got a moveset that is so babyface friendly. We watched All In. Penelope Ford got one of the biggest pops on one of the biggest shows in North American pro wrestling history with her incredible sequence where she just aerially assaulted Hangman Page. It was awesome. Penelope Ford is a big babyface women's star in waiting. I would like to see these recent events maybe trend towards that direction. I'm not that hot on the prospect of this match purely because Conti versus the Bunny was pretty dire.
Do you know what? Just thinking about it now, I will allow this. And to be fair, I've said the exact same thing when it comes to WWE recently with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. If the ends justify it. And for me, like you say, Penelope Ford wins tonight with the help of the Bunny to feed into Sunday, where Penelope Ford and the Bunny have Tay Conti backed up into a corner. It looks like they're going to 2-on-1 advantage, beat the crap out of her and hurry her out of there. And then maybe that's where you get Anna Jay's return.
Yes.
That's been another route we could go down, but I didn't even consider Penelope Ford to switch babyface. But yeah, that's a hell of a shout as well. And we're going to insist on Britt Baker staying a heel. We need to make some more baby faces.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You've got that as well. Right, let's conclude by previewing a match that sort of previews another match at All Out. Of course, at All Out, it's Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks inside a steel cage for the AEW tag titles. And on tonight's Dynamite, the Young Bucks team with Anderson and Gallows, it's the Elite, basically, minus Kenny Omega, versus Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express. What a sneak peek this will be.
Yeah, this will be incredible. This will be an absolutely pulsating insanity exhibition.
Opener?
Oh, I don't know. I think you main event it purely on the basis
that
FTR and Santana and Ortiz, hopefully that's not going All Out because that show is set. It's done. There's loads on it. You want the last segment of your go-home show. It's not a go-home show. Rampage is a go-home show, but more eyeballs will be watching Dynamite. It will function as a go-home show. Therefore, I would start with Santana and Ortiz and FTR, maybe even just in the ring. Give them the 16 minutes of that uninterrupted slot to say, right, okay, FTR, we haven't really given you enough matches. Same goes for Santana and Ortiz. The first one didn't go down well. You got bastard's luck. Have 16 to 17 minutes to do your pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
That's how I would do this. I would put the 8-man on last with the idea that because of the various associations involved, this is the best means of folding Christian Cage and Kenny Omega into the action to sell your world title match as your last image. So, Bucks and the Elite go over. The beatdown that necessitates the fact that there's a steel cage match in the first place happens. You are told by a pissed off and moralizing commentary desk, oh, this kind of thing will not happen. These bastard Elite guys have done it again. This will not happen at All Out. They will be in a cage, blah, 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 blah. And because Kenny will join in the beatdown of the Lucha Brothers and the Jurassic Express and maybe even them out of the match, that will draw Christian Cage. Big mass brawl.
Yeah.
Nitro style. End the broadcast with all of the players involved in the tag team and world title divisions in a mass melee. See this resolved all out. That's how I would book it. As for this match, Jesus Christ, it should be absolutely outstanding. The form that three of these teams are in, I am being fair to the club. They are perfectly positioned in multi-man matches like this because they seem to dog it in tag team matches. It is literally impossible to dog it when Phoenix is in the ring and when Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson's in the ring. Jurassic Express have been on phenomenal form their last two big Dynamite TV matches with Rampage. This is awesome. I'm going to leave the listeners on a pretty cruel note if it doesn't happen. Ooh. One of my favorite matches in the pandemic was the Young Bucks and FTR versus the Lucha Brothers, the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah.
From Fyter Fest. An incredible match that I made so many spluttering, incredulous noises during that I almost didn't miss the crowd. It was so ridiculous. Like, really rich storytelling, like grounding the spots. The spots, in fact, were the story, because if you remember, FTR like, pissed off that, like, they were just weren't grabbing a hold. It was wonderful long-term stuff. They did a spot in that match that I squealed at when Pentagon went to do his, like, shoelaces spot. Nick Jackson, like, leaned over the ropes to try and pick him up to do a move on him. And Phoenix scrambled out of nowhere and drilled Nick Jackson with a destroyer out of the ring. Absolutely mind-blowing. Do that again. You've got eight lads. You've got the Bucks. You've got the Lucha Brothers. You've got a Chicago crowd. Just plagiarize that spot wholesale. And Dave will give you 5 stars. Like, do you not want 5 stars?
I mean, it's brilliant, but I can't really add to anything you've said. All I was going to say was give a Canadian destroyer to Brandon Cutler. So, you know.
The more the merrier. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's AEW, the love of Canadian destroyer.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, absolutely. You're quite right. This should main event, and it'd be a hell of a way to conclude the show. Like you're saying, sell all out. Oh, it's come around quick. I'm very excited. Let us know your thoughts on Dynamite tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our NXT review is available right now, and our Dynamite review as well. When that comes out tomorrow, we'll slide straight into your feed as soon as it is released. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Week. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.